This tape will become part of the Scandinavian Immigrant Experience Collection at Pacific Lutheran University. The date today is March 24th, 1982. The interview is taking place in the home of Otto Lowe in Tacoma, Washington, and is being conducted by Maureen Nesvig. What is your full name, please?
Calvin Lowe.
Otto Calvin
Lowe.
That's the Norwegian pronunciation.
Yep.
When were you born?
1911.
And the month and day?
September 5th.
And where were you born?
In Sortland, Norway. Sortland, Vesterålen.
Okay. What is Vesterålen?
That's a community.
Mm-hmm. And whereabouts in
Norway? A town. Sortland is a town.
Okay. And Vesterålen is?
The northern part of Norway.
Where would that be in relation to something, the Lofoten Islands? Or?
Yeah, that's in that area.
Okay, and is Sortland on the mainland, an island?
No, that's an island.
Mm-hmm.
That's Langøya, I guess it's, remember right now.
What were your parents' names?
My mother was Laura, and my dad was Gustav.
Mm-hmm. Your mother's, did she have a family maiden name?
Jensen.
Mm-hmm. And your dad's
That was Le.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what was his occupation?
My dad? Well, he was a fisherman and a farmer back there.
Okay.
And a carpenter. He was a man, a little bit of everything.
And your mother, did she have a special occupation?
No, she was a housewife.
Mm-hmm. How many children were there in your family?
It was two in the first marriage.
So you have
a sister. She's dead.
So you had a sister. And then there were some other children.
Then he got married again.
Okay.
And there's two there.
And your sister's name was?
Hannah.
Okay. What do you remember about your grandparents?
Oh, I don't recall much about my mother's side because my grandmother died in 1919. That was 8 years old, and I just remember I could go and see her. She always got cookies there. and also they had a slaughterhouse, and that was kind of interesting.
That was your mother's parents?
That was my mother's side. And my grandfather, he was a shoemaker.
There in Sortland, or?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what you say your name is pronounced differently here than here. It's low, and in Norway,
Lø.
And
L-E.
Do you know the background of that name?
It comes from Trøndelag. That's in Trondheim. My grandfather was born in Stiklestad. I think it was, and then he came north and married my grandmother.
And so where did the name, how did the name come out of that?
I guess the name of the farm there was Lø. Mm. And I guess one of, my wife would know more about it neither, but that there was one of the Ibsen's, the dollhouse was played in that, my grandfather's house.
Now what was that, the play was?
A dollhouse.
Uh-huh. It was set in that house, or?
It was played, you know, they had it.
Oh, they put on the performance there.
Performance there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When Ibsen was alive, or?
No, that I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. What does Lø mean anything? Does the word have a meaning?
That's just a farm name.
It was a place name.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when you came to this country, when did you change your name over?
Well, I had to. They couldn't pronounce it. They called me Lou, and they called me everything else.
Okay.
And my uncles, my aunt, had changed their names too.
And so the spelling changed too,
yeah.
Then,
mm-hmm.
to the English style.
Yeah, some
spell
L-O-E, and some spell L-O-W, and some L-O-W-E, and you name it.
Okay. Can you describe a little bit about your childhood home? What was it? A little bit about growing up in Sortland. What was it like there?
It was really nice. It was, well, we were fortunate enough to have more in, you know, every of changed things a little bit.
Okay.
Then my dad left and come to this country.
Okay, now he came to this country as a result of your mother's death, or?
No, Dad, I don't know. He decided to take a trip over here.
Mm-hmm. And so you stayed in Norway?
Yeah, then? I stayed back there.
And you were taken care of by family, or?
Well, I stayed with my grandmother then for a while, and then I used to go to be a fisherman, you know.
Okay. When did you take up fishing, or?
Oh, I was about 15 years old.
Mm-hmm. And you started fishing then?
Yep.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, it was herring fishing, and what they call sei fishing.
Sei, that's a...
Has a
kind of fish up there?
Yeah, it's a big, it looked like, I don't know. It's not the same as salmon, but it's close to, isn't that, it looks something like it.
Uh-huh. And so that seems young to start out. Was this full-time work, or?
Well, no, that was only winter time. In the summertime, you had to do the farming, then you had a job on the farms. And
uh-huh. What were farm jobs like, or what kinds of things did you do on the farm?
Well, we done the haying and then planting potatoes and you name it.
Mm-hmm. You say you were confirmed when you were 15. Is confirmation? Tell me a little bit about
that. That was Lutheran.
Lutheran confirmation.
Yeah.
What kind of event is that for a young person over in Norway?
Well, it was more compelled to. Not really compelled, but that's what was one of the things you do as soon as you got through school.
Mm-hmm. And did you go to school in Sortland, your schooling there?
Yeah, only 8 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had four classes.
Was Sortland a very large community?
No, I guess, I can't remember. I'm not sure, maybe. Has grown considerable since then.
Mm-hmm. Now that was pretty far north.
Yeah, it was cold.
It was cold?
Cold.
What, can you tell me any stories about the cold, or?
Well, when you went to, we had to go to school, it was about close to 7 miles, American miles, English miles. And in the winter time, when you had a runny nose, that was frozen.
How did you get? Did you use any special method? Did you ski or?
Oh, yeah, not a lot of skiing and skating.
Did you ski to school or?
Well, we had about 3 to 4 feet of snow in those days, so we had to ski to get to school. I never missed a day. In 8 years.
Even with 4 feet of snow.
Oh, we got there. Yeah, after my mother and my dad come with the horse and buggy and got us home.
Uh-huh. Would the horse then that would be on a sleigh?
Sled.
Mm-hmm. And then of course the light is different, dark in the winter and.
Oh yes, you know, in the summertime you have no darkness at all. That's 24 hours daylight.
Mm-hmm.
But then in December or around 15th of December, then we were lucky we had about 1 to 2 hours of daylight.
Yeah, that isn't very much. Did that affect people at all, do you think?
I don't think so.
Hmm?
I don't think it bothered me at all.
Okay. Do you remember any special celebrations of the year, just briefly? Say Christmas.
Christmas, that was a holiday that everybody respected.
What do you mean by that?
When Christmas Eve.
Yeah, what do you remember about how you celebrated then?
Well, we started the Christmas, or little Christmas Eve, we call it. And everybody had to get cleaned up, and my dad go out and get the Christmas tree. And we had to take the bath and, you know, top it. And then Christmas Eve, then we all had our rice and you name it, everything, goodies to eat. And then my mother prepared all the dinners for Sunday, for Christmas Day, on Christmas Eve. So we went to church Christmas morning, and then she used to heat it up for no work to be done except the chores.
No work to be done on Christmas.
No, except the chores. We had the farm, so.
Did you have any foods that were especially traditional in your family or in that area? You said you mentioned rice.
Yeah, rice. Yeah.
Anything else that you think was really
pickled herring?
Pickled herring, and did you? And
oh, was pickled herring, spikkachut, and chutzrul, and you name it.
Okay, I suppose the herring was made by homemade and.
The herring right there is fished.
Okay, you mentioned a couple of other ones. The second one was a couple of Norwegian dishes.
Spikkachut.
What's that?
That's a lamb, a dried lamb, a leg of lamb.
Mm.
And, put in Brian's first for a day or two, and then it's hanged up to dry out.
Okay. Did any of those, have you in any way passed any of those recipes down, or are those still made in your family now?
Oh, I guess you can get them anywhere, can't you? Rule of pearls, such almost. I don't have any of those, but you have some.
We have a Norwegian cookbook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And okay. Now you say okay. You started fishing after you were confirmed, and tell me a little bit about your father. Had come over here, you say, and then did he stay or what?
Yeah, he stayed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did your life go after you were 15 then? What happened until you came over?
See, I had to wait to get the visa to come over here. It took 3 years or 4 years to get the visa recorded. And as soon as I got that, then I come over here.
Okay, you planned to come the whole time?
Oh, yeah. See, my sister left before I did, and she was here, so I was only there.
What did you hear about America before you left, or did you have
Oh, they thought that was really something, you know. Seat was almost made of gold.
were there many people leaving to come to America from your area?
Yes, in my own family, my grandfather, grandmother, they had 15 children, and 8 of them come over here.
That's your father's.
Yeah.
Your father's family. 8 out of 15.
8 out of 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of my mother's family, which I had no contact with at all.
What do you think the main compelling reason was why so many people left at
that time? Well, I guess it was opportunities there was more bright in the end. Because at home there was just fishing and farming. That was about all at that time you could depend on.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay, so you waited and got a visa. And did you travel over here alone? Or did you have a companion?
No, I was alone.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about your trip the whole way through. where did you from up north? How did you end up in Tacoma from starting out in Sortland, Norway?
As soon as I got my visa, then I had to get all the different papers and then I took the Hurtigruten. South to Trondheim.
Okay, what's the Hurtigruten? Is that
it's a boat?
Okay.
It's one of those. What else did they call more the post? You can carry the post of the cargo and build it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I stopped in Trondheim and I got the train from Trondheim to Oslo and I stayed in Oslo for about 3 weeks there with some friends. To the time for me to get the good strong fuel.
Mm-hmm. And you. Do you happen to remember how much your ticket over cost or your passage?
I think it was $200. $200, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And has your father sent you the ticket?
He sent me the ticket.
Okay. How were you feeling in that time? Were you looking forward to your trip to America or?
Yes, I was. My idea was going up to Alaska to go fishing. I had some uncles up there, but that didn't turn out very good because there was. Depression was on, and there was no job to be had, and fishing was poor up there. Mm. More or less, a lot of people lost their homes. And
fishermen did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the Tories.
Okay, so you came from Oslo on the Stavanger Fjord
to Halifax.
What was that trip like on the ocean?
Beautiful. Oh yeah, sale for months.
That's a little bit different impression of that trip than some people have had. Were you lucky on the weather?
Oh, beautiful weather.
What time of year was this?
That was in the August.
Okay, August of 1930.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was beautiful weather then. The only place we had a rough was going from Oslo to Bergen. And somewhere I forgot to close the porthole there, and my suitcase was swimming around in it. I had a lot of things for my mother I took with me. Some of the rough spots on it.
Nice. What kinds of things were you bringing over?
These
were family heirloom type things that you were going to save and bring.
That was my part of the inheritance.
Oh, I see. So you brought your. You felt that this was a permanent trip. You were going to stay.
Yeah.
Did you have any feelings when you sailed out of Oslo or Bergen about leaving Norway? Do you remember?
No, I didn't have any feeling. I was just interested to see what's going to go on the other side.
Okay. So how many days across the Atlantic then?
Let's see now. It must have been 8 days. Because I left the 14th of August and I landed in Tacoma the 29th of August. I went to come through Canada.
Oh, you came through Canada.
Yeah.
You say you landed.
That was cheaper.
And that was the reason why.
Yeah.
You went to Halifax then?
Yeah.
Did you say? Okay. And on the ship itself then, just before you start off across land, what were the conditions like on the ship?
You mean the food or
regular? Yeah, did you everything. Share cabins or?
Oh, yeah, we was four in the cabin there. It was two doctors and one lawyer going to Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lot of immigrants there.
Mostly immigrants.
Someone come to Tacoma. I didn't know that at the time. When I went to night school here, then the other, Lou, and I couldn't figure out who in the heck knew me here. But.
Okay, so you got into Halifax. Was there any, what happened then? Was there immigration?
Oh boy, that was just like you take a bunch of cows and shove them through. There was no stopping there before you were on the train. As soon as you got off the boat, there was just
mm-hmm.
corral going through there and then
mm-hmm.
getting a few shots here and there. And then when I got to Winnipeg, there was a Swede. He'd been in Sweden about seven times. And when I got on a train, one of the porter came and sold me a box full of apple, and he charged me $7 for it, and I didn't have much money left. So I said, "By gosh," I said, "I'm going to get my money back somehow," because I had to eat. So when he come back later on, he had sandwiches. I just need some sandwiches. And the Swede helped me. He had some too. He said he's not going to get by with that.
The porter, was he trying to take advantage of you?
He done it to everybody there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Some Dutch girls was in the train too with us and doing the same thing to them.
And they, you were, because you didn't speak English?
I didn't know. I couldn't say one word.
Couldn't say one word. You were taken advantage of by some people? And
yeah.
What, you would just hold out some money and he would take too much or something?
That's right. And as we thought that, he skinned me alive that time. But then we got to Winnipeg and we stopped and have coffee. So the Swede said, you better have sugar in your coffee because when you get to this country, everybody uses sugar. And so I dumped some sugar in, and I didn't like it at all. But I was kind of hungry, so I said, "Gee, I got to drink that coffee." And I sat there, and then somebody hollered, and the Swede comes, "Hey," he says, "you better come get going. The train is leaving." And I didn't know where in heck to go. So one porter there, or a conductor, I showed him my pass, and he took me by the hind end and threw me up. "You better get on there in a hurry."
Okay, so Any other memories about that train trip across? Or?
Oh, yeah, well, I can't tell them all.
How long did that take to get over to the West Coast then?
It must have been 7 days, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And you made friends with some other immigrants then?
Yeah.
The Swedish man.
Yeah, Swedish and Norwegian. So I went up to Prince Rupert, and mother and a daughter. I guess the mother liked me a little bit, so got to belong real good.
Where did you go into? Which city on the West Coast did you?
Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. And then transferred down here. And,
Tacoma, Union Station, Tacoma.
Okay, what happened when you got to Tacoma?
My dad picked me up there.
Uh-huh. And now you hadn't seen him for?
Well, I've seen him 27 months. 3 years,
uh-huh.
Well, 3 years, something like that.
Okay. What had he established a home here? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And where in Tacoma was he living? Or?
He was living in 34th Street, McKinley. He had a home there, or he rented a place there.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had a family, had two children, and a boy and a girl.
He remarried here?
No, he was married in Norway. As soon as he got married, he left.
Oh, I see. Okay. And so what happened to you now in Tacoma? How did things happen for you here, settling in? And
well, the first one, Dad was pretty busy. He was working with Bondry Shoe Factory, so I helped him a little bit.
What was the name of the shoe factory?
Bondry Shoe Factory.
Okay.
It's not here anymore. Back east in Missoula. And but I didn't get any paid, so I had to start looking for a job. That's where I met Mr. Birkeset at the Sons of Norway.
Mm-hmm. Now, why did you go to the Sons of Norway, or what?
Well, I started going to night school as soon as I had to pick up a few words in English.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the Sons of Norway. You know, they were all in the region then at that time. There was no English speaking. So that helped.
You mean to have friends, people you could talk to?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you met, now what was this man's name, Mr.?
Birkeset, Andrew Birkeset.
Uh-huh. And now, tell me how he offered you a...
Well, always interesting to find out the newcomers coming from Norway, and he wanted my name and address and so on, and when I come over and so on. So I told him, I said, asked him, I said, you know if it's any job to be had? And he says, no. He says, I don't think so. I don't know if any. Have you done any printing? I said, no. And that was all was said, and that was on a Thursday night. And Sunday evening, here he comes up and says, you want to go to work tomorrow? I said, sure. And he said, well, we can't pay you much. He said, $7.50 a week. And that's 6 days a week. I'd take anything. So that was pretty good money for me.
Uh-huh. Was that good for you? Was that, do you think, good for those times, or?
It was good. I paid for my board and room, and I had a little money beside.
Now, were you living by yourself now?
Or? No, I stayed with my dad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Before we go on with your job a little bit, what was Tacoma like? You come here, you're a young man of what, 19? What was your impression of this new place?
Oh, I have sailed a little bit, so I know I've been, I do a little bit going on. So that didn't make much impression on me. The only thing I couldn't figure out the damn stoplights.
What? Why?
Oh, I didn't know what they meant. But that was, took me downtown. I think it was one of the first days I was there. And he stood on the corner there, and I just went across the street, and I thought, oh, he hasn't moved yet. So I went back and said, what's the matter? Are you going to go? He said, you had to wait for the red green light up there.
Where your father lived, was that? What about the Norwegian community in Tacoma in those days?
We got quite a few Norwegians in that area then.
Was it a tightly knit group, or?
I don't know. There was It's only a year I stayed with my dad. I don't think it was a year I stayed with him. And then I moved by myself. And then I started mixing with other groups and other young people.
What other groups were there? Were there yeah. separate? Were there other minority groups in the area?
No, that was if you call Swedes a minority, I know.
there was a separate.
A lot of Swedes.
Swedes, uh-huh.
Yeah, and Italians.
Mm-hmm. What about you went to night school and it was, how did learning English go for you?
Well, it didn't go too good. I haven't even learned it yet.
And when you took your job, was English important or?
No. No, that was very, it was all set in Norwegian.
Okay.
In Swedish.
The paper was, okay, now, when you went to work, you were working for Mr. Bjørkestad?
Yeah.
And he was what? What was his position?
He was owner and manager and an editor for the paper.
And the paper was called what?
The Western Viking.
Uh-huh. And
and then we had also the Swedish paper, two samples. And,
okay.
See what happened there in 1929, a year before I come over, Bjørkestad and Mr. Newman had bought out the company, Pugusam Publishing Company, from Mr. Sandegren, and they were operating it. And then right after that, they bought out Takuma Tiden, which was operated by Soli. So they bought him out and combined those two papers together, the written paper for Western Viking.
So the Tiden and the
Takuma Tiden.
And what other one?
Western Viking.
They merged together.
Yeah, they merged.
Okay. Where did the Puget Sound Posten fit into that then?
Well, that was one of the publication we had. Yeah.
Okay.
We also had publication by Pacific Lutheran College. We printed the paper for them for a while.
Okay. Was that in English or Norwegian?
That was in English.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mr. Tingelstad. Tingelstad, I say, was editor of the paper.
Okay, now where was the office or the printing?
It was on.
No, it's fine.
13th and Tacoma Avenue.
13th and Tacoma Avenue, and what? The first day you showed up for work. Tell me what did you do? What was it like?
I didn't know what the heck was going on. I just stood there and looked at things.
What were the presses like in those days?
What?
What were the presses like?
I thought that was really something. You know, I've seen them in Norway that it was hand-operated. This was done electrical. So that was a little different from what I've seen.
Mm-hmm. And this was, you say, all done in the native languages, or
yeah.
Norwegian, and how often was the Western Viking and the Puget Sound Post, and how often were they published?
Once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Every Thursday.
Mm-hmm. How big a staff was there, or how many people
were
working?
Well, it was just two editors and myself and a pressman and a mailer.
Okay.
And I was the errand boy. I had to do a little bit of this and that. Set type for them. It was all handset, and they had linotype machines, but I didn't know anything about those. It took me a while to learn those stuff.
Who, can you remember about the other people? Who were the reporters? Were the reporters? Or
No, they just clipped out, and got a whole bunch of the written papers. They just clipped out pieces here and there, and then local news and so on. That was about all.
Uh-huh.
They were called in. The churches called it. It was mostly churches.
Okay, it was a lot of church news?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, two or three columns of churches. So all the churches had to have their free publicity.
You said you felt you were lucky to get a job. What was it? Were times hard then in Tacoma? Or?
Oh, boy.
Tell me about that.
I started meeting a lot of friends there, and boy, someone. I never know one fellow or several of them. They used to go down on the dock street and pick up fish heads and take them home and boil them. And then they discarded potatoes down to the dock street and take them home and cook them. And coffee, when you go up and have coffee there, my gosh, they cooked on that ground for 3-4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have much. I was lucky, I had my $7.50 a week, but I got a raise after 3 months. I got up to $9.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
And inside the year, I had $12. So I was really making money then.
Mm-hmm.
But the only last, and then I got up to 15, then I got up to 18, and then he went bankrupt.
Who went bankrupt now?
The company.
What was the name of the overall company that ran the papers?
Puget Sound Publishing Company.
Mm-hmm. What year then was that that all ended, or?
In 1933, late 32 when it ended.
Okay.
33 was, no, 32 or 33, I'm not sure.
And somebody else took over the papers, or?
Yeah, that was the editor of the Western Viking. Took over the Norwegian Western Viking, and I went into it. I had saved a few dollars, and Sandegren, son to original old man Sandegren, come from Chicago and took over the Puget Sound Post.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked together there, but they didn't work out too real good because he was kind of spendthrift, as Birke said, so I didn't get any money. When my money was gone, there was nothing to be had. So I said, the heck with it, I went out sailing.
Mm-hmm. Then you went, fishing?
No, I went sailing.
Sailing?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I thought about taking everything before I got married, so.
Okay, I want to go back to the papers a little bit. How many people read each paper? What do you think?
It started out real good when you merged with Takuma Tiden. We had about 3,000 subscribers, but they dwindled down little by little because money wasn't to be had. It was only $1 a year, I guess.
$1 a year?
Yeah. But it dwindled down to that last there. I think we had about 1,200.
Okay. And was the depression getting worse and worse now each year?
Up to 1933 when Roosevelt got in. Then it started to, when he got the OPA and then we got a little bit of this and that. First of all, he closed the bank so we couldn't get no money. Those 6 weeks that we, all the banks were closed. Was it, I think it was 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then it started brightening up a little bit.
Okay, what were your work conditions? I heard that you worked late at night, or?
Oh yes, we had to on the Wednesday night. We had to work 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
to get the paper out in time.
Mm-hmm. And what was there any major difference you think between the Norwegian paper and the Swedish paper? What was there a rivalry, or a?
No, I don't think so. They seem to get along real good. Couldn't see any difference.
Mm-hmm. What role do you think those papers played for the Scandinavian community? Where did they fit into everything? Would people have missed those papers if they hadn't been around, do you think?
At first, when I in the early 30s, then. They did kind of miss it. If they didn't get it to the paper, he called up. But in the later 30s, then didn't make much difference. All they wanted to call there was a preacher that he didn't get his paper because they're going to have a sermon on Sundays and nobody knew about it.
So there was a pretty good link there between the church and religious part of the Scandinavian community.
And the same thing with Sons of Norway. We had their 17 May issues and
mm-hmm.
all of that.
Did Did you remain a member of Sons of Norway down through the years?
Yeah, I was a member for many years. Not many years. And we started the Young People Society in 1934, I think it was. Right after I got back from sailing. But then we had a play. That was in 1935. We had a name with Torkelsen. He was an old Scandinavian, a Norwegian guy. And he put up a play, what was it, Peer Gynt?
I think
with Peer Gynt we had a play up in Norman of Alder.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, the night when we got married, I had to go to practice.
You had a part in the play?
Yeah.
What did you play?
I can't remember what the heck it was. I had a small part in there.
What year did you get married then?
35.
Okay, now before you got married, you went sailing.
Yep.
Okay, tell me about sailing.
Oh, that was nice. Oh, I talk in the Orient. And
what were you on the Merchant Marine or?
No, I was. Well,
how did that come about?
Those was not Merchant Marine. There was half cargo and half passenger boat. It was a Danish. I got on it in San Francisco. Me and my buddy.
You traveled down to San Francisco?
Yep, by train.
Just took off from Tacoma.
Yep.
What? Why? What?
Well, we decided to see the world, you know, before we got married. So that's
okay.
I had $100 in my pocket and started out.
Uh-huh. And got on a sailing ship and.
And then I got in and I got to be a. What would you call it now?
Steward.
Yeah, I got in the steward department, and that was pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. What does the steward do?
Well, first of all, we had to take care of all the passengers. We had 12 passengers, and then we had to take care of the room and keep that clean and neat. And then we had to serve, and then I got up, so I got the job to set the tables, to see to it everything was in order. I got next to the steward, you know, the big steward, the chef.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved in next door to him, and then I had to do all his work.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of the ship again?
Sealandia. Okay. The Istediadic Company.
And you sailed to the Orient, you say?
Yep.
Which places?
Oh, we took in Hong Kong, Singapore, Manila and Legazpi and all those different places. I was going for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got tired of it. I want to go back to printing again. I got it.
You wanted to go? Did you go back to printing or?
Well, I come back. There was nothing we had then, so I went on the farm. Worked on the farm for 6 months.
Which farm or where did you work?
It was out here on Spenaway.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Norwegian guy there. And I put that in the paper, and the fellow come in and asked me if I knew how to milk. I said, yep. He just seen me the first night after I milked the first cow.
Why, what happened?
I couldn't move my fingers.
But you did you keep working there?
Oh, yeah, I kept on working there.
Uh-huh. Tell me now, you mentioned you wanted to go sailing before you got married. How did you meet your wife? And you met her
when?
Tacoma here?
Yep. She had to come out to Tacoma and see me.
How did you meet?
Her brother had been out there for quite a few years, and they were good friends. And so then he went back east and got married, then he come back again and he stayed here, and then she come out here.
From where?
From North Dakota.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how you always say. I got a date somehow or another.
Okay.
Well, how did I do it?
I don't know how you managed that.
I don't know.
And so when were you married then?
In 1935.
Mm-hmm.
Cool winter.
February 5th.
1935 in the winter, and that's and then you had to go to practice that night for Peer,
yep.
for Peer Gynt.
Yep.
What did you have any kind of a traditional Norwegian wedding?
No.
It was very plain.
Plain.
Mm-hmm.
Married in the parsonage.
Okay, in the parsonage. And did you set up your own home or?
Well, we were renting. I had an apartment then, but we got to rent the house and got some furniture in it.
Mm-hmm. How, and you were working on the dairy farm and then?
No, then I quit the farm. I got the job back on the paper again. And, they
okay.
needed help there.
You went back to the Western Viking?
Yeah. Well, I went back to Puget Sound Post, or Puget Sound Publishing Company. Sandegren was there. And then they sold out the paper to Mr. Lavik. He was in the region. And no, take it back, he sold to Mr. Torkelson. And Torkelson had Lavik as a manager. So then I got in there. But before that, was it after?
It was after you were working for the Western Viking when I met you.
I was working for Western. No, Bjergsted wasn't there then. Oh yes, that's right. You know, they hate that. Miss Bjergsted was still working there, and he got fired, and I had to take over the setting of the paper then.
Okay. What does that consist of?
Setting and you have to make up the paper with a linotype machine, just like a typewriter, you had to
mm-hmm.
and set up the, and then make it into forms and,
mm-hmm.
and have it printed.
Okay. And what do they call that? Cold type?
Cold type.
Mm-hmm.
That we had, that lasted for a while, and then this Lavik, he took over the paper, you know, that's a long story right there, but...
What's the long story
well,
there?
Well, he was the manager of the paper, and versus Torkelson. And by the year was over, he owned the paper. Torkelson owed so much money, he charged him so much for being manager that he took the paper over, and then he sold it, and me and another fellow, Cora Moo, bought the paper for $4,000, and we started in there. We're doing real good to start with.
So you're the publisher now?
Yep.
What year was that?
That was in 38, 37, was it?
Okay, you own Puget Sound Publishing now?
No, that's just that Western Viking then.
Okay.
Sandegren had his own. He sold out the Western Viking.
So when did the two papers split from the
Yeah, that was in 1936.
They split from the same company.
It was 35 or 36, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you took over.
Yeah, then we had it for a while, and Cormu was so good-hearted that anybody who come to the shop to need the money, they got money, and Mabel couldn't get no money for groceries. So I finally got tired of it, and so I told him, I said, he could have the paper.
This was your partner?
Yeah. And I'm going to look for another job. And then in the meantime, my wife had talked to Milkman. Milkman said, well, he needs he thinks there's a job he can have for a label company. You go up and see them. So I went up and see him, and I got a job up there. And then I told him, I said, you can have the paper. And oh yeah, he says, I'm glad you left because I'm going to make money now. Well, it wasn't 3 months after that, he went bankrupt. And Mr. Carson in sale bought this paper then, which is still going in sale.
Now who bought it?
Mr. Carson. Einar Carson was his name.
And it's still under the same?
I'm not sure what the name of the company is. But I know they published it at the Western Viking at the present time.
When did it switch to Seattle? Do you know?
That was in 1939, 38, 39.
Mm-hmm. Not too long after you left it.
No. right, about 3 months after that, mm-hmm. they sold out.
Andrew
Pearson
was
the
editor, though, wasn't he, until he died? Andy
Pearson. Yeah, he was for the Western Viking in sale, yeah.
Whatever happened to the Puget Sound Post-it?
That was sold. Who the heck bought that? But I believe they discontinued it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not anymore.
You don't know when that went out, or
no?
Okay. I'm going to stop the tape on this side, and we'll continue on the other side. Okay, so you worked for the over off and on over a decade then, just about, for the Western Viking.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice it during those years? Did you notice a change of any kind?
Well, they changed from the Norwegian language to the English. I think the last time I saw the paper, I haven't seen it, was just one or two columns in Norwegian, the rest is English.
Do you know, when in your experience in the 30s, did that start to change?
No.
Was all still Norwegian?
It was all Scandinavian, all Norwegian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do you think that had an impact on the Norwegians or the Scandinavians that helped them keep their identity or their?
I believe so. I think so. That since the, I don't know what how many subscribers they have at the present time, but I know that we had back in Minneapolis, there was a Nordlands blog, it had a paper come out once a month, and they changed over to English, and they died out after they changed over to English.
Do you say you don't see the Western Viking anymore?
No, I haven't seen it for years.
What was the hardest part about working for the papers back in those days, do you think? Or being a newspaper
that
man?
I enjoyed it, working for the paper. The hardest part was to get the money. Because money was hard to be had.
You mean from advertisers or subscribers?
So to get your wages.
Uh-huh. How was the paper supported? What kept it going?
It was by advertising, and subscribers was only $1 a year, so that was, they didn't even pay for the postage.
So do you remember any of your best advertisers or any deals with advertisers?
And then the advertisers we had, the big ones, they was always in trade. You had to take that in trade.
What does that mean?
Burnett Brothers, for instance, now the jewelry department. Well, you had to take out and trade, and then you get a set of dishes or a set of silverware.
You will put their ad in your paper, and they'll give you some of their merchandise.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anything else like that? That any other businesses you particularly remember that? Stand out in your mind, or
K Street Theater. Some many things
that we used to get free passes for the K Street Theater.
The K Street Theater, uh-huh. Was that in the Norwegian community then?
Oh,
K Street.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we used to get free tickets to the theater. Mike, we used to go to shows, and that was free advertisement. We got the tickets for it and run ads in the paper.
Did you have any dealings with the main big Tacoma newspaper or newspapers, the English-speaking newspapers? How did you tie in with those? Or
no, I can't. We had was kind of messed up for a while. There was some editorial that was about Red Cross, and we had an editorial in our paper that didn't go with the News Tribune or Tacoma Times, and they were going to put in their paper that they were boycotting us for putting that in the paper.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what the issue was?
I can't remember what the heck it was, but Newman said nothing to do, and he was going to keep on going, and he didn't stop, and the Tribune never did do anything about it. But that was the only conflict we had with the paper.
Okay. About, when did you become a citizen, Mr. Lowe? How did that all happen? Do you remember?
1940, I think it was.
How did that process work when you wanted to become a citizen?
Well, I decided, since I got married, then I didn't have to take the first papers route. So then they could apply for citizenship. So I got a book, and Mabel and I, we sat there and read the book, and finally I went up for the judge and had no problem.
What kind of book? For the
history.
Mm-hmm. And the government,
Government and all that. And a friend of mine, he told me that I couldn't make it because he said, you got to study, you got to go to school in order to get there. I said, heck with it, I'll study at home. And so I got my papers, and then he's going to get his, and took him three times to get it. And he went to school for a year. We didn't get along too well on that one.
Okay. So you worked at a variety of jobs then. No, let me see. You were stayed with the paper how long then?
Oh, what's...
You were gone by the 40s from the paper for good, or?
No, I quit the paper in 1929. Uh-huh. 30. Huh? 30. 30. 39. I mean, 39.
Yeah. 39, And then you had another occupation, or?
Yeah, then I got in with the other printing labels.
Okay. Now, you and your wife have children?
Yep, three of them.
What are their names?
We've got one boy and two girls.
Mm-hmm.
And the oldest one is Leif Lowe. And the second one is Barbara Miller. And the youngest one is Roseanne Reibold.
And are they, do they speak Norwegian? Are they interested in the culture of Norway?
Well, in the culture, yes. But
yeah.
They don't want to go to trouble learning the language.
Mm-hmm. Did you and your wife speak Norwegian to one another when you were first married or back in the
States? Not much, but a little bit,
He needed to learn English. That was the way.
Yeah, so I kept on.
You made a point of trying to speak English.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Working around the paper maybe made that a little more difficult.
Oh, yeah, that was hard. So it's all the Scandinavian, the Swedish, and Norwegian. So that didn't make it very easy. All the thing we could do was go out to the girls and go and the shows, go to show, and that helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
To get the action in.
Well, how long have you lived out here on the east side?
We moved out here in 1953.
Uh-huh. And it was in Tacoma before that, or in?
Yeah, in Tacoma. Yeah, in Tacoma. We had a home in Tacoma.
Uh-huh. Were you active in a church down through the years at all?
Not much.
No church involvement, and no. You say you were a member of the Sons of Norway, and you were active. You were in a play.
Yeah, but then I got married, I couldn't afford it, so I cut out for a while. Now I'm back in
You go to the Sons of Norway now?
Well, I don't go much, but I go once in a while.
Uh-huh. Were there any other Scandinavian groups that you belonged to through the years, or?
No.
Any other?
Well,
Nordlandslaget, right? Yeah.
You're a member of Nordlandslaget?
Yeah.
What's that one?
That's a group from the northern part of Norway. They get together once a month.
Do you think is that a special thing to be from the north part of Norway? Or?
I don't know. They have, they have the Nordlandslaget, then they got Trøndelaget, then they got Sunnmøring, and a different part of the country. They have their own lodges.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
group that gets together.
I haven't heard so much about the other ones. I wonder.
Well, it's small groups. I guess Nordenslag, because Nordenslag, it starts with Trondheim and goes clear north, taking the whole area there, northern part of Norway.
So it's a big area.
Yeah.
Have you revisited Norway?
Yeah, we've been there 3 times now.
Okay. When was the first time?
1974. Yeah. And then 77 in 1980.
No,
79 was it.
Yeah. What's okay, from 1930 to 1974, that was...
Every 3 years we've been going back.
Uh-huh. What was your first trip back to Norway like?
Boy, that was sure a big change for me.
It was a big change?
Oh, yeah.
Did you visit your home?
Oh, yeah. We got relatives all over the country there.
Uh-huh.
And then she has relatives there too, so we visited them. And we had a real good time.
And did you keep up with your relatives down through the years?
No, that was a long time. I didn't have any correspondent. I don't know why, but it kind of died out. And we,
mm-hmm. I didn't know any of them, you know, and I'm the one that writes the letters.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to, make a living here in. And my job I had after I got into the label business, they kept me busy day and night.
Mm-hmm. What company was that? Just going back a little bit.
That was Miller Label Company, Miller & Miller Label Company. I worked for them for 19 years.
Mm-hmm. Here in Tacoma there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that was sold and I stayed with it and another company bought it out. Manager for a while, and then they sold another company. I didn't like that company, so I quit, started my own.
Your own business?
Yeah.
What was that?
Right here.
What is your business?
Print.
You have a printing business?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Labels.
Well, you print, you have a big business, or you do a lot of work?
No. Well, we got plenty of work.
You
know.
We do a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, I retired, so she's doing it.
You're retired? What types of labels are they?
When you go to the grocery store and buy a loaf of bread, for instance, they have a label on it. Or you buy a pound of meat that says hamburger on it, they have a label on that. And also on jars and farmers' pickles. And we do a lot of work for...
you do all the labels for Farmer's Pickles?
No, we don't do all of them. We do part of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we do quite a bit for high grade.
High grade?
High grade.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do business from the Mexican border up to Alaska.
Hmm. What's the name of the business?
Alalo Print Company.
Label.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a customer in Alaska. Illinois, and Oregon, California.
Even to Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Okay, so you have an active business going. And
now if you want to buy it.
Idaho. All kinds of places.
Mm-hmm. We better go back to your trip to Norway now. So you did go back and visit family, and did you... That's a lot, quite a few years. But what were some of the major changes, or anything you
can go back? And we had a farm back there. Dad had a farm, and I come back there, it's full of houses now. No farm equipment, not at all.
Right.
So that was a big change there. And electricity is in there now, and everything modern. Changed, but the people are the same.
Mm-hmm.
All his relatives knew he was coming, and everybody on the road had put up their flags.
Yeah, that was comical. When we got to come in on the plane, there was a bunch of relatives come there to meet us. And
what city is this now?
Huh?
Where did you fly into then?
Skagen, and that was my closest airport. And I was just driving along, and I said, "Why, guys, is everybody flying? Have a flag up today?" Yeah, he says, "You're coming home to see us." I said, "Gee whiz." I said, when I left, I said, "They put the flag up, they were glad to get rid of me."
The Norwegian relatives must, they felt it was special to have a member of their family coming back from America?
That was quite and Mabel hasn't been there before, and she was not used to it. They stopped for coffee, and they had a big cake there, worked the coffee with it. And they gave her the knife to help yourself. And he said, "For Sinders." And maybe she didn't know what the heck that was.
I didn't speak much Norwegian, so.
Mm-hmm.
And she sat there, I said, "Cut yourself a piece there." And she looked at me, and finally she cut the piece.
And he took us. Everybody laughed. I really would never get along over there.
There are some different customs then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Eat. First thing you get up in the morning was to eat, and then the last thing you do before you go to bed is to eat.
You think eating is important to the Norwegians?
I guess so.
They're not fat.
No.
They're really very slim. The ladies, very few of them are heavy.
Mm-hmm. But they eat a lot. Or maybe they serve food to guests quite a bit. Maybe.
Yeah, they go for the food.
What relatives do you have left there then?
I got the cousins. I got just one aunt left. She's 86, 87. And but I got a lot of cousins.
Mm-hmm. And you went back two more times then.
Yeah.
Okay. What? Those are pretty. You went every 3 years. Once you started going, you kind of went off. And what do you think made you want to go back then again?
I don't know.
There's something that draws you to the place. I don't know. I just love Norway.
It's so. I don't know. I would like to go back and stay, but. The highlight of it when the last time I went to Norway, my mother's cousin, husband, he was in old folks' home there. He lost both his legs, and we used to go up and see him, and he'd make them boats, the boats are right behind you there.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a lot of them. So I used to go up and see him. He was up at the old folks' home there, and I said to Hans, I said, "Could you make me one like that? How much you want for one? I'm not selling them." Oh, she said, "The lady was in here the other day, and she says she offered me some money. I told her there's a door." So I thought I better keep my mouth shut and not say anymore. So we left, and we went to see some other people. All the friends up north there, her relatives up north there. And to come back to my cousin, and there was a note there saying, "Hans wants to see you." So he went up there, and he says, they had down in the basement there, a beautiful place for old folks there. He had a shop down there for his own. He was in a wheelchair, got up and down like nobody's business. And he said, "That boat up there is huge." I said, "What?" I said, "Yep." He says, "That's huge. Now. You can take it with you." But he says, "It's no good." He says, "I wouldn't take it to America." I said, "The heck I won't."
So that was made by, he's not a relative.
Well, no, he's a short relative.
Uh-huh.
My mother's
right. Tell me about this big model ship. It's
Fembergen.
A Fembergen?
Fembergen.
What does that mean?
It's five people on it. They go out there fishing.
Oh, five people.
Yeah. And
is that anything like the boats that you fished on when you were a young man?
They were smaller. Over here went on bigger too. You know. But there was something similar to those there.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think this older man is interested in this, or why?
I don't know. After he lost his leg, he wants something to do. You see, that's the trouble with old folks. He said they sit in the chair, rocking chair there, and pretty soon they die. They have nothing to do. He says, I'm not going
to
do that.
He has lost both his legs at the hips. He's just...
And help himself.
Do you think that boats, do Norwegians have a special feeling for boats? Or?
I do believe so. They have, they think very much interesting.
Fishing is their life, you know.
That's one of the main sources there in fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Living.
Do you have other, have you picked up other keepsakes from Norway that mean something to you, that you in your trips over there?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what they're, a lot of junk I got.
Junk?
No.
I see,
my aunt, she's what's 83 years old, she sent it to me. She made
say?
That herself.
What does that say?
Kan du glemme gamle Norge. Don't forget you old Norway.
Okay. And so you have that up in a prominent spot
yep.
in your house. Is that what you think, not to forget old Norway?
You bet you.
What is being of Norwegian heritage, or being a Norwegian, what is it, has it meant to you?
I don't know. I'm proud to be a Scandinavian. They've done a lot, prominent people, that's Norwegian.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they admitted that Leif Erikson was the one that discovered America, but I still think he did.
I see on your coffee table you have a book, Viking Hammer of the North.
Yeah.
So.
My son gave it to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we got several books of those.
So, do you think you can characterize the Norwegian people? What are they like? Are they different from other people in any way? What sets them apart?
I don't know. They're friendly. And
I think they're very honest people.
Honest. Hospitality is beyond any means. You're welcome to wherever you are. You're a stranger or not.
Mm-hmm. And you expect to go back then again?
We hope so.
Mm-hmm.
We were hoping to go this year, but it couldn't be.
Have you had relatives visit you here from Norway?
Yeah. Petra been there, a cousin.
Well, she lives in Washington.
Yeah, I was in D.C., but my girlfriend come over to see me.
Mm-hmm. His old girlfriend, that's how I learned to speak Norwegian, you know.
He had learned to speak Norwegian, really.
I had to remember how to, I had to get my brains together and learn that so I could hear what they were saying.
This is a friend of yours from Norway who
came
and visited?
Yeah, school.
Mm-hmm.
School.
And do you use the language with one another now? Who do you speak Norwegian with, Mr. Lowe? Do you use it at all in your day-to-day life? Do you have friends or in the area you speak it with? Or?
No, we have a couple that went to Norway. Her cousin went to Norway here a couple, 3 years ago, and we tried to talk to them a little bit.
They don't speak much, though. They
but
took
they
lessons. They took lessons.
Learn
it, but I don't know.
And she went to Norway, and she... They claim that she is better in Norwegian than I am.
Oh, I don't think so. They're just blathering me.
Do your children speak good at all?
No.
And have they been to Norway at all?
No.
Any of your children?
No.
Do they express an interest in going or seeing your family place? Or?
Oh, the youngest one probably would.
Roseanne,
what do you think? Or Barbara? I don't know which one.
I don't know. I think they'd all like to go.
Uh-huh.
Leif, he's a school teacher. He's the oldest one.
You have grandchildren too?
Yeah, we got how many? Six?
Well, Barbara's got four, Leif has got two, and he's got a stepchild now. So, and then our other daughter's got one of her own and two stepchildren.
Yeah, Leif is a good Norwegian name.
Yeah. Yeah, he got his education over to PLU.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to hear you say something in Norwegian, Mr. Lowe. Do you have a saying, a favorite saying, a prayer, a song, something that, just a little phrase in Norwegian, or whatever you'd like to say in Norwegian, something that means something to you or that you have fun saying?
She makes fun of me because I said half Norwegian, half English.
I don't mean to make fun of you.
Yeah. What's your line?
Is there anything you'd like to say in your native language?
What's going to see? Norger, Fint, Land. Skulle gå tilbake til Norge.
Ja. Who speak Norwegian?
Til gå tilbake og se hvor slektninger og kjenninger.
What did you say?
I'd like to go back and see our friends and relatives and.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to add about your heritage or your experience as an immigrant to this country?
Well, going back to, I said something about grandfather, you know. Was that Peer Gynt that played the Stikle Stad?
No. A dollhouse was that was supposed to be have been based on the home where Otto's grandfather was born and raised in that home.
And what area
the dollhouse.
Is that? In Stiklestad?
Yeah, it's another name in that town though.
Steinkjer.
Mm-hmm. And the play is supposedly based on the life in that house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess so. Or at least on the dollhouse was
Edward Grieg
was
not
supposed to be that. No. I can't think of his name now. How could I forget?
Stiklestad has a place in Norwegian history too. Does it? What do you know
what
that means? What Stiklestad is all about?
That's during the war. Fight between the kings, occupation of the different, you know, they had their battles there in Stiklestad. I think it was Kong Harald.
Well, from Sortland to Tacoma to Hong Kong, you've been around the world.
Yeah.
And. Are you glad you came to this country all those years ago?
Yes, I am. I like it here. We have no complaints about it.
Okay, so we'll say thank you very much for the interview, and this will close the interview with Otto Lowe.